It is very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, there's a couple of things to get to. First of all, the Children's Hospital. My God. It could be February next year before the new National Children's Hospital is complete. It was meant to be October. It was meant to be last year. It was meant to be the year before. My grandchildren will have grandchildren before that bloody hospital actually opens. The Emperor Hadrian didn't wait as long for his wall to be built as we did for that hospital. It's a disaster. It's run well over budget. It's now up to 2.2 billion from the original estimate of 1 billion. It is probably the most expensive hospital in the world, and it's all down to the Irish government because they're useless. That's the word, useless. Remember, these are private contractors. Any other business, if a private contractor doesn't complete something in time, they get fined. You don't just keep putting the cost up. Anyway, we get around to talking about that later if you have any thoughts on it. And today, by the way, can I just say I've just taken an hour or two out of campaigning. As you may have noticed, I've been everywhere. My latest video up there I put up was in the Navan Road in Cabra, which was a little bit odd for me because I stood on the spot where the mother and baby home was. St. Patrick's mother and baby home in 1963, that's where I was born. And it was essentially an orphanage. And I was there for 14 months of my life before I was adopted. And that's where I stood yesterday. It's not there anymore. There's a beautiful housing estate there called Kempton Park or Kempton Drive. And that's where the mother and baby home used to be on that site. And I stood there and did a quick video, and I have it up on my Twitter account if you want to go and have a look at it. I want to thank everybody, by the way, all across Dublin. You've been so kind, so good to us. We were out the other day in the square in Tala, and the Irish Times were kind of monitoring us, supervising us, to see how things are going and the issues that are coming up and all that kind of thing. And everybody that came over was just so good to us and so nice and said they were going to vote for me and all that kind of thing. At the start of this, I never, ever expected it to get to this point where everybody I'm talking to are so fed up and they're telling me that they're going to vote for me. And it's been mind-blowing. We had the official launch of Independent Ireland Tomorrow, the party, at Buswell's Hotel in the Dáil. It was a great day. It was a great day to meet all the LEAs from all around the country who are running for Independent Ireland. It's been marvellous, really great. And a wonderful kind of coming together of minds, of people who want to do something better, who want to create history for future generations to say, we changed the country. And can I say something to you? I know you think, you know, some people have said to me, oh, it couldn't be worth it voting, there's no point, it's always the same result. I think we're at a turning point in Irish history. And I think this particular election, this EU election, this local election, and of course the general election, probably before the end of the year, is going to be a moment in Irish history where the government got it so wrong for years and years and years that the Irish people turned their back on them. And we've seen that in the referendum, by the way, with the government and every NGO telling you to vote yes. But we were clever enough to know that we should vote no, not to remove mother, woman and family from the constitution. We knew that because we're not stupid. The same way as we're not stupid now when we go to the polls next week. We don't want the government in. You don't want Fine Gael candidates voted for. You don't want Fianna Fáil candidates voted for. You certainly don't want the Green Party anywhere near the building. A Green Party member should never be allowed near any government building or anywhere a decision is made. All they've done is tax you. That's all they do, is tax you. When you're taxing somebody for no particular reason, it's just a tax. It's not an environmental tax, it's just a tax because they don't feel any benefit to it. Anyway, I'll go back to the Greens again, but they should never be allowed near a government building. Then you have your opposition parties, of course, the Shinners, who have flip-flopped and done more U-turns, you know, than, I always say, more flip-flops than an RTE summer party. But, you know, they claim to be not open borders yet. Back in 2004, they rejected the people's choice. 80% of the people, by the way, in this country decided they didn't want the birthright citizenship in Irish, you know, people who were born here to become citizens, etc., etc. The Shinners objected to that and said it was a racist referendum. And all along, the Shinners have been saying things like that. And they haven't opposed the government too much when it comes to, you know, this kind of refugee crisis that we have at the moment, this immigration crisis. But now all of a sudden there's an election coming and we're not open borders and they're jumping on the bandwagon, saying things that I was saying 2 years ago that I was called right wing for. So the Shinners are now saying things that I said, you know, going back 2 or 3 years ago, actually 5, 6 years ago. And they're now not, well, they're not right wing, obviously, are they? You know what I mean? So please, use your vote very carefully. Remember, they're not on your side. You see headlines in the paper that Simon Harris is going to get tough on immigration. He's not. Let's be clear about it. He's not getting tough. I sat at a table the other day, twice actually, on Drive Time and on This Week on RTE, and the people around the table are in denial. They're all in denial. What they want is different to what you want. They say they want a fair immigration policy because there's an election coming up. But what they want is the people who are here and the people who are coming into the country, they want to process, speed up the processing, not to get people out of the country who shouldn't be here. They want to get more accommodation for them. They don't want them off the canal, by the way, because they want them to leave the country, because some of them should leave the country. Not all of them, obviously, because some of them are genuine, but some of them should leave the country. They don't want that. They want to get them accommodation. Deportation, the word deportation is like a dirty, smelly word that they don't want to use. I use it. Triple D, remember, deterrent, detention, deportation. If people come to this country and they have no identification, they should be detained. There's no question about it, but we don't detain people. You won't hear anybody else saying that. You won't hear the Soc Dems say that because they want to give a house to everybody. According to the Soc Dems, I should never use the word illegal immigration because according to them, there is no such thing as illegal immigration. That's surprising. You should tell the Garda Síochána on that because they prosecuted seemingly 100 people. Should we pardon all those people? Because according to the Soc Dems and according to Eoghan Reardon, there's no such thing as illegal immigration. When I said illegal immigration on RTE, I was challenged by every one of them and the presenter of the show, who said I shouldn't use that word, that there's no such thing as illegal immigration in Ireland. There is such thing as illegal immigration in Ireland. They are all wrong. We're dealing with people who are incompetent. We're dealing with a national broadcaster who sides with these people who are incompetent. If you listen to any of those debates, you will see exactly what happens. Every time I speak, they attack me. They attack me. They attack me. And you know what? Well done, lads, because all you're doing is drawing attention to the truth. I said there are some nefarious characters coming into the country. And there are some nefarious characters coming into the country. Most of the people who come in are probably reasonably okay people. But there are people who have backgrounds that we wouldn't let into this country or shouldn't let into this country. Without a shadow of a doubt, to suggest that there isn't is just barmy. But again, I was attacked for even saying that. You're not allowed to speak the truth anymore in case, you know, I don't know, you hurt somebody's feelings. And I guarantee you, in a year's time, when the election, general election comes, government candidates will start using the word nefarious characters. Just like I wasn't allowed to use illegal immigration, but now Barry Cowan is using it, of course, in Fianna Fáil. That's okay. But his running mate, Barry Andrews, won't use that word and says we shouldn't use that word. So, thank you to everybody who is voting for me. Tell all your friends to vote for me. Please do. Because I want to make real changes. And I want to be the voice of common sense. I'm the only one who sits around these debates and I'll make sense. I'm on again on Sunday, on the Week in Politics. But the main debate, which is on next week, considering that I'm number two or three constantly in the running and the betting, by the way, out of 23 characters, the main debate, which is on RTE on Tuesday night, I am not on it. There are characters on it, or people who are running for election, who are way below me in popularity, way below me, and they're on it because they're part of the political parties, they're part of the establishment. We need to have a conversation when all this is over about democracy and about how elections are run, because I've now got a massive insight into it. And it is so unfair. We are watching people like, say, Maria Walsh, who's on every single programme, who managed to get herself onto everything. And it's not for the want of trying we don't get on it, but they don't let you on. Because what they'll do is they'll go for the incumbents, the people who are already there, to give them another opportunity to go back and make a bollocks of the country over and over again. That's what they do. So we've seen, for example, in Dublin, four MEPs away all across the country. There's been four or five, depending on which seat, which area, constituency you're in. And they've been silent for 4.5 years. We've heard practically nothing from them. Now they want their job back, and RTE will give them first opportunity and first dibs to go on the television and spout their nonsense so they can get back on again. So please don't listen to it. They're not on your side. I promise I'm on your side. I always have been. I've never let you down on the radio. I've never cared what I said. It doesn't bother me that, you know, the Broadcasting Authority or somebody might complain about it. It never has bothered me before, and it's not going to bother me now. When I get to Europe, even some of the things that I can't do anything about that are at a national level, I will embarrass the Irish government. I will go over there and make so much noise that they will have to do something because I'll have a much bigger platform. So please allow me, give me that chance, and vote for me. Next Friday, the elections are only nearly a week away now, just over a week. Give me that opportunity and I promise I will not let you down. All right, there's my campaign bit for the moment. Now, in relation to what's happening today, it's like deja vu, isn't it? This is the fifth time in the space of 2 months we have removed the tents, and I guarantee you by tomorrow there'll be 30 tents back there again because more people keep coming in. I mean, you can't keep putting a plaster on the bucket, on the leaking bucket, and still filling the bucket up as you're putting new plasters on it every single time. Because that's not going to work. We have to stop the people coming here who shouldn't be here, and the people who shouldn't are people who are economic migrants or people who are coming here illegally. Help those who are genuine, but the rest, they shouldn't be here. They should be escorted back out of the country as soon as they get here. Processing time has to be like that and get them out. We need to do that. Otherwise, we're going to keep having this problem. All we're doing is just moving the chess pieces around the table. But I want to know, maybe you have a solution to all of this. If you have, I want to hear your solutions. 085 122 55. 085 122 55. You can't even walk around the city anymore. It's crazy. It's 085 122 55. Send it into WhatsApp. If you want to come on and chat to us, you can. Now, because I mentioned yesterday, of course, I was at the launch of Independent Ireland's campaign. And because our own candidates are finding great difficulty getting any airtime, I'm doing my bit. So I'm going to speak to some of our own candidates here on the air today who have been campaigning out on the trail all across Dublin, all across Ireland and the different counties. And I'm going to start it off by speaking to Linda De Courcy, who is from the Clondalkin LEA for Independent Ireland. Linda, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Wonderful to see you yesterday. Wonderful to speak to you. It shocks me, by the way, can I just point out that Breed Smith said this morning, Linda, that immigration is not the number one issue at the doors. I don't know what you what are you finding when you're knocking on the doors?
It's definitely well up there, and it is immigration, but it's not even the fact that people are coming in. It's the fact that people seem to be treated better who come into the country. Like one guy was saying to me last week that, you know, he was in a pharmacy, he was just picking up some medications or whatever, and he's no objection to paying for the medications, but he said he was the only Irish person in there. He's in there about 15 minutes and nobody else paid for anything. And so people are just feeling like they're being treated like second-class citizens in their own country. You know, yes, there's people who are angry with all the numbers of people coming in, but also how they are being treated compared to how local people who are being treated, who pay their taxes, you know, pay their own way, do their bit, you know, contribute to the economy, and then feel like then they're being penalised just for, you know, for being Irish in their
own. I had the same instance with a couple, an elderly couple, I think they were 66 or 67 years of age in Tala the other day, and they were saying it really annoys them. They can't get a medical card because they're like 100 euro over the threshold. And they said, you know, 105 people came to Ireland last year from Ukraine and they all have a medical card. And I think when you divide a society, and by the way, I don't blame the Ukrainians for that, or I don't blame the people in that chemist or whatever.
It's
the government. They're bad decisions by the government which divide society, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's funny because they're always saying how decisive like people like you and me are because we're saying things like that. But actually, they're the ones who are being decisive because they are putting these policies in place that are building resentment, you know? And some people, like, they're so angry. I've had a few people almost run me off when they think, like, I'm Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. Like, no, I'm independent, you know? And then they relax and we have a good chat, like, you know? But, like, there's so much anger that's built up in so many people because they just feel like they've been ignored. They've been called nasty names. Nothing has been done. Like, you've got so many elderly people, young people, you know, have to kind of call 3 weeks in advance to make an appointment with the doctor, like, you know, but, you know, you don't know when you're going to get sick, you know, who knows when they're going to need to see a doctor. There's no supports for children.
I said that to somebody recently. I was making an appointment myself with the doctor and they said, oh, yeah, I could fit you in about 2 weeks. And I'm going, I said, so, like, if I break my leg, do I need to plan it in advance or something like that?
Well, I plan a fall down the stairs, like, so, like, just that morning so I can get in and see it and it'll be grand. Like,
I mean,
you know?
The country is just a mess at the moment, and that's what's built up this anger and resentment. So the big issues, of course, immigration. Housing is a massive issue. And I imagine places like Clondalkin, it's generational, i.e., you know, the kids of the families want to live in the area and they just can't afford it.
They can't. And I mean, so many, like, their kids are, they're leaving the country. And that's heartbreaking because, you know, in the 70s and 80s, like, people had to leave. And you kind of would hope that we got past that stage where people were leaving in their droves. And now they're leaving, but they're only leaving because we're kind of bringing hundreds of thousands of people in, like, you know, like, so it just seems, you know, 70% of young Irish people say they see no future in this country. And I don't know, I think that's heartbreaking. I think, you know, like, we have these people, they're part of our culture, they're part of our history, their families, you know, they don't want them to go, you know, and if you want to go away, that's fine. I mean, I traveled, you know, most people travel, but we always knew when we came home that there would be a house to buy, like, or there'd be somewhere to rent until you could get on the property ladder. And now, like, literally there's nothing, absolutely nothing. So no, it's a big, big issue.
Final question for you, Linda. What made you decide, this is your first time running for election, what made you decide, what was the moment you said, I need to get out there, I need to do something? What was the kind of decider for you on that?
The There was it was kind of building, like, I suppose since lockdown started happening, and you're kind of like, what's going on with all this, you know, like, and then, you know, like Tsar Tony and all that, you know. So that was kind of, it's kind of been building since then, and just getting, you know, the whole immigration thing. And it's not something, like, I'm 53. It's not something I ever considered doing, but the real catalyst was, and it's not, it was very much the proverbial straw. I found out there were plans to pedestrianize, you know, Clondalkin Village, you know, stop the cars flowing through the village. And, you know, everybody was up in arms. Nobody wanted this. Like, you know, people want to drive, and people will drive. They'll just spend three times as long in the car. Three times as much petrol, three times as much stress, three times as much traffic congestion. And so then I was like, you know, I just have to throw my hat in the ring. Somebody has to stand up and say, you know, we don't want this. Like, I think there's 16 or 17 other people running in the area. Hardly anybody else is saying the same sort of thing as me. Hardly anybody else is saying, you know, we need to close the borders. We need to look after our own people. And one of the things I like about Independent Ireland is they do want to decentralize a lot of this bureaucracy, so that, like, what happens in Clondalkin is decided by the people who live in Clondalkin, you know, not by
just
people
like they're,
who've
just
never
like they're doing
the
in
area.
Limerick at the moment, which is, you know, electing a mayor who's going to have huge decision making power.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
I mean, I've always thought that was a good idea. That kind of idea, but similar to America, this kind of a federal state where you have each, like Dublin, you know, Limerick or Galway, whatever, they all have their own mayor, their own decision maker, and everything operates independently, you know, with obviously central government giving the money. And I always thought that was a good idea, a way to run things. Mind you, local councils do that to some degree at the moment.
Right.
And that's why you're going to be on, obviously, the local council too.
They do, but it's very much driven by a green agenda. Like, you know, when you can, you know, it's not coming from, well, what's the best thing for the people who live in an area? It's like, well, we have a green agenda. Like, you know, we have to get people walking because cars are bad, you know, and all this sort of stuff. So it's not for the benefit of the locals, really. It's just for this sort of, you know, these agendas that are coming, you know, from
well look, Linda, best of luck. And, you know, people at Clondalkin, I want you to get out there, vote for Linda. She's from Independent Ireland, which are a group of independents who've come together. It's like a big think tank. They've all come together to be, I suppose, the best person and be your voice across the country. So thank you very much indeed, Linda, and the best of luck next Friday. And I hope people get out and vote for you.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Linda De Courcy, she's in the Clondalkin LEA. Let me go to Willie Carton, or William. Let me give him his full title. William Carton from Athy LEA in Kildare. William, hi. How are you?
How are you doing, Niall? Good to talk to you. How are you keeping?
I'm good, Willie. I mean, Willie, I suppose once you move outside Dublin, the issues are slightly different than people might be saying to you at the front door. So what are they saying to you?
Well, I tell you, Niall, you can move where you like. I'm standing here in Arramore here this morning with another independent candidate, Paul O'Malley, and I'm standing here with Deputy Richard O'Donoghue here to Canal. Here you live. If you want to say hello there, boys, to Niall.
Morning, Niall. How's Niall?
Good morning, lads. Good morning. Yeah, go ahead.
We're all here, Niall. We're rooting you, Niall, all the way. We're using your voice so well, Niall. You cut through the mustard and you talk so much sense there. And that's why I'd say you have more support in Kildare than you have in Dublin, to be honest with you. You're fierce well liked out here and you're a big following. We think you talk a lot of sense. And to be honest with you, we must be doing something right, because when we used the slogan at the start, common sense, but you, Simon Harris, used it now, common sense, there must be something wrong, or we must be doing something right one way or another.
So Willie, is it the same issues in Kildare that we're having in Dublin, that we're having in Galway, that we're having in Limerick or Cork? Is it immigration, housing, healthcare? Are they the kind of main issues that are popping up at the doorsteps?
It's the very same, Niall, because it's the same government throughout, you see. It's the government that are at fault here. It's no one else. Can't blame immigrants and everything else for everything for the government's fault. I believe it's the government's fault. Look at the price of fuel, for God's sake. Like, you're trying to drive electric cars. How good would an electric car do me down here now going to Dublin every day?
No.
The battery
will
be flapping on the motor.
you'll end up in a fight in an Apple Green looking to charge it again, yeah.
We've had dirty smoke in these lanes down here for the last 150 years, and I don't see what damage we've done in the last 150 years to now. Like, now we're a small dot in the world, and we're causing all the problems.
What sort of reaction are you getting at the doors? Are people welcoming, or do they think, oh, he's just another politician, run him away from the door? I mean, are you getting a good response from people?
I tell you now, the response I get at the door is very, very positive. If I was a party, they're running me, but because I'm an independent, that they're actually giving me time to talk to me there. The reaction that we're getting is, listen, I just want to do something. What difference is an independent going to make? And like, my story is, like, I'm an independent, they're going to your door, but I have the backing of three TDs in the Dáil. I have the backing the three UBAs going to Europe there. I think we're going to be the most successful party in Ireland within a matter of coming years. I can't see what we're doing wrong.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing we have to do when I should say we're in power is to stop the rot. I think it's going to take 2 to 3 years to fix this country, and there's no party going to fix it any quicker, but I think we have to stop the rot.
I mean, what I noticed too when I was out campaigning, I'm sorry, I know it's a bit windy wherever you are there, but I noticed when I was campaigning, a lot of people feel a little bit disconnected in the sense that they're saying to you, why should I bother voting? It's always the same result. It's the same people get in over and over again. Are you getting that from people?
I am getting that from people, but you see, a lot of people don't understand like what the power we have behind us. Like as an independent, like me going to a door, a first-time candidate going to a door, when I stop at the door and I explain who my three TDs are above me, the power I have then, like I suddenly go to 8 foot tall in a doorway because people actually listen to me and they understand where I'm coming from. Like I'm an independent with big power behind me. I'm not an independent like that. Like if I'm a normal independent, not in independent Ireland, I don't have the same backing as I have now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you understand me, like, if I have a major issue at council level and I can't solve it, I can ring any of my TDs on the phone, they all answer me straight away, and we get a job done automatically.
Well, look, I wish you the best. Go ahead, Willie.
I was at a door 2 weeks ago, and I rang Michael Collins. This woman was on a waiting list for 2 years to get a cataract done. She got it done last Tuesday, actually.
Okay, so there's a bit of backing and a bit of power behind you and a little bit of weight behind you. Yeah, absolutely.
Correct.
Look, Willie, I wish you the best, and I know the people of Kildare love you because I've heard a lot of good things about you, Willie. So I wish you the best next Friday, and I hope you get over the line, and I hope you're there to represent the people of Kildare and Athy and all around the whole local area there. I hope you're there to represent them after next Friday. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Willie, and the best of luck to you, all right?
Thank you very much for your time, Niall, and the same to you, Niall, and please, God, we meet up shortly.
Yes, absolutely. Let me go to the youngest candidate across Ireland is Ryan McKeown, also from Independent Ireland. Ryan, hi, how are you?
How are you keeping, Niall? How's the form?
Yeah, how's the baby of the party?
Well, look, the baby of the party is absolutely giving current councillors a good run for their money. It's good when you have a Fine Gael candidate, current councillor coming up to you saying, you're giving us a run for your money, our money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sign, you know?
Oh, no, it is, absolutely. So, you're getting a good reaction. Are you confident, Ryan?
To be honest with you, Niall, I am confident, you know. As I said, look, I don't want to get my hopes up, obviously, too soon, because as we all know, polling can work because of the secret ballots, you know what I mean? Like, if you're guaranteed every person that says they're going to give you the number one, which I think they will, because to be honest with you, in my LEA, in Clane LEA, people are struggling. The working class families are struggling. And to be honest with you, a lot of people are saying to me, they're not voting in this election for local issues, for council issues, such as, we'll say, street lamps and potholes. People are showing the government that they're no longer welcomed in this election. And that's what I'm getting hit with at the doors, because like the green agenda is crippling businesses in my LEA. It's taking away parking spaces from outside businesses. A local pub in Allen Wood is struggling because of it, you know. Yeah. And this is where we need to bring common sense back to council chambers. And I believe as a young candidate with the energy that some of them well-seasoned politicians that, you know, it's near nursing home time. I won't name any names. But at the end of the day, I believe I can bring that energy to the council chambers and please God in the near future to the Dáil.
Now, just to let people know, you were going to head off to Australia as a young person. You were heading off to Australia for a better life. But you decided this is not the avenue I want to go down. I want to help Ireland. I want to make Ireland better. So I want to be part of the change. And that's why when you were approached, obviously, by Independent Ireland, you decided this is a good thing to do.
Of course, yeah. Look, as I turned and said, I was going to pack the bags and I was heading. Because let's call it black as spades. I know if, you know, that I'm not going to have a home ownership anytime soon, you know, and I was working a 9-to-5 job, but I knew I could do something better than that, you know, and I was going to leave my family behind, my friends. Well, the majority of my friends are actually already over there, to be fair. But I don't believe in running away from problems. I'm a big believer in don't run away from your problems. Face your problems. And the best way of me facing my problems was to stay here independent Ireland came at the right time. As I turn around and said, every single colleague in independent Ireland, like yourself, the three amazing TDs, Fitzmaurice Collins and O'Donoghue, you know, and the great bat team, the great support that's there is great for a young person like myself to try from, you know what I mean? And look, as I turn around and said, there's one thing with me, Niall, I'm not afraid of seasoned politicians. They look at me as a young lad, oh, here's a wee fart, what's he going to do? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you one thing now, and as I said to every single person on the door, I don't promise the moon, the sun, the stars to people, because let's call it black of spades. In a council chamber, if I get elected in June, it's still going to be the same politicians within the Dáil making the rules and regulations, and they're going to be still crippling, you know what I mean? But I will stand up against them. You know, I'm not afraid to stand up against ministers and things like that there as a candidate. And I think that's why I've stood out a lot with the people of Clane LEA, because as one woman referred to me on Facebook, vote Ryan McEwan number one because he's like a dog with a bone. He doesn't let go.
Well, Ryan, the best of luck to you next Friday, and I hope things go well. I hope you get over the line too. Thank you very much indeed for joining us today. All right, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Niall, and the very same to you. Thanks very much.
And we go to Colette Byrne. Colette, hi, how are you?
Morning, Niall, how are you?
Now, you're running in Port Laois. What a wonderful
part of the world. I'm in Port
Laois. Yeah, I worked in a nightclub many, many years ago in Port Laois. I can't remember the name of it. That was about 30 years ago. What a wonderful part of the country, of course. Colette, what made you want to run, by the way? You've never run as a councillor before, have you?
No, I've never run as a councillor before. I contacted Independent Ireland because I couldn't see a party that would work for the Irish people. I mean, I could not believe all the other parties it's hard to explain, but they weren't working for the Irish people, and that's all I could see. And I came across Independent Ireland, and I contacted them to find out more. And shortly after, they got back to me and asked if I would run.
Yeah.
I considered it after a few days because it's a big step to take.
Oh, it is. You're putting yourself out there. I mean, that's what you say to all the candidates. You know, you're putting your picture up on polls. You're putting yourself out there for both, you know, the glory and the abuse. So it's a little bit of both. You know, so you're really putting yourself out there. So it's a big risk.
Yes, it is a big risk. And you have to finance it yourself.
Yeah.
We're not a big party, so we don't have extra finances to do it. So I considered it all. And I said, you know what? I trust me. I don't trust the other parties, and I trust Independent Ireland because they seem to have us. They are a party of common sense and common decency as well.
And when you say about financing it, that's, of course, a lot of the independents and with the smaller parties too have to do that. For people who don't understand that, when you see all those posters up on the ground, up on the polls, they're like, you know, between 5 and 10 quid each to get them put up as well. It's an expensive thing to run for election. Now, of course, once you get the quota, or you get, you know, I think it's whatever it is, 25% of the quota or 20% of the quota, you get your money back, right? But in saying that, you still have to find the money from somewhere. How are you getting on with your funding? Are you getting many donations? Are people helping you out? Or how are you getting on with that, okay?
I'm getting a little bit, but I'm not putting it out because I know how hard people are finding things.
Yeah.
So I'm just mostly self-financing it. But that's another day's work.
Yeah, you'll figure that out when it's over.
Yeah, exactly.
How much money you owe.
No new clothes for me for a year.
and the reaction, I'll ask you the same question I asked the other three as well. The reaction you're getting at the door, what's the main issue in Port Laois for people?
The main issue, and it's coming up over and over and over again, is housing. Housing. Whether it's in rural areas or in towns, farming communities. I was speaking to one lady, and three of her children had to leave the country and gone to Australia. They had a farm, couldn't get planning for her children to build homes, and her kids, they just want homes so that they can settle down and have families. And affordable housing, and they couldn't. So they decided to head off to Australia to start lives and rear their families. And there's that woman, the lovely lady, and her husband, and grandchildren are the far side of the world. You know, it's not a lot to ask.
No, we're exporting our population, and a population we've educated. Yeah. We paid to educate, by the way. We've educated the population, and we're exporting them.
I grew up in the 90s, and at that time, schools were closing. There was no work. All my friends are scattered to the four corners of the earth. I don't want to see that for my daughter. She's 19 now.
Yeah.
And she said to me about 2 years ago that, Mammy, I don't see a future for me here. There's no chance I'll ever buy my home. And that frightened me. because I only have one child, and I'd like to be able to be next door to her or down the road or next village across. And it's the same for family after family, door after door. I was at another house, a lovely young lady. She, the relationship broke up. This happens. One child, and she's now living back at home with her parents in the box room, the two of them in the box room. Now, she's working. She's on a low pay, and she can't afford a home, can't get accommodation. There's no accommodation to be got. She has gone into the council. She can't get higher on the list. You know, we need to prioritise homes, smaller homes even, for low-income families.
Okay, so housing is a big thing, of course, absolutely, and everybody's seeing that at the doors as well. What else is coming up at the door for you?
We recently had a new library built in Portlaoise, and nobody thought to ask the disabled persons' organisations their input on the planning.
So what, they can't get into it?
The electric wheelchairs will not fit in the lift to go upstairs, and that's a brand new...
Oh, my God. I thought there was rules and regulations brought in the 1990s, the late 1990s, in relation to, wheelchair access.
Yeah, I know. It's probably just a regular, straightforward wheelchair, but it can't take the electric self.
Yeah, because more and more people now, who are wheelchair users would use the electric ones rather than the manual ones. More and more people are using them now because they've become more affordable, of course. And that's shocking to think that they can't even get it into a bloody lift. Anyway, look, there's lots of local issues, and of course that's your job as a local councillor to deal with maybe local issues rather than the national issues and to try and get funding for local issues, and I think you're positioning yourself well to do that. I wish you the best of luck, Colette. Are you hopeful? Are you confident?
Well, I'll be realistic. First time out, trying to get my name out there, trying to get people to know that Colette Byrne is running in the Portlaoise local area election. And look, I will stay going. Keep working at it.
Are you getting any local coverage in the local radio station or the local papers, or are you getting anything at all?
Yeah, I was just on Midlands Radio there this morning, and on the local paper as well.
Okay, that's good.
That's good.
At least they're giving you a bit of coverage. Listen, Colette, I wish you well. Colette Byrne, and you're from Portlaoise. You're running for Independent Ireland. Get out there and give her a vote. All right. Listen, Colette, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, Niall. Appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. There's some of the local candidates, by the way, for Independent Ireland. Yes, Independent Ireland, of course. That's why I'm biased. It's my podcast. I can do what I bloody want. RTÉ, you're biased. They're all biased. So that's my little bit of bias today. Independent Ireland, of course, are a party of independents who came together to try and fix some of the problems in Ireland and run for election. And I have to be honest, for a party that only exists really for the last 4 or 5 months, they have done incredibly well to get so many candidates. And not only that, they've got 3 candidates in the European election, including me, by the way, who all look like they might actually get a seat. Thank you very much indeed. I would really want you to go out and vote for me, by the way. Let me get to Alva. Alva, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Alva, you believe in relation, go back to the tents on the canal, we need to stop pussyfooting around it and just admit there's a problem.
Yes, Niall, I think we need to stop pussyfooting around this. I think they know what's happening here and they know what needs to happen.
Mm. But what needs to happen, I suppose, isn't that the real question? Because, here it's like deja vu. When I see the article in the paper this morning with RTÉ, we're removing the tents again, putting up barriers. This is the fifth time we've done this in 2 months between Mount Street.
I heard that this morning. It's the third time in May alone that they've had to remove these tents. Who's paying for these tents?
Well, NGOs are paying for them. Well, the state, are. You're paying for them. Taxpayers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, when is this going to stop?
Well, see, they're going to say, well, what's the alternative, Alva? If we don't give them tents, they'll be sleeping in the street in the rain. But mind you, my answer to that is a lot of them shouldn't be here. That's the bottom line. You can't just keep filling the bucket over and over again expecting it not to leak.
Exactly. And they shouldn't even get to the point where they're in a tent on the street.
Mm.
No one should be in a tent on the street. And how fast they are to deal with this, but they couldn't deal with the Irish homeless in tents on the street for the past 20 years.
No, they couldn't. And
they didn't hand those homeless people money and hot food and medical care and everything else. They did nothing for them. Irish people have died on the streets.
When I listen to some of the political parties and some of the candidates running for both the European elections and local elections saying that this is not a problem, that we should stop making this a negative thing, I find it just mind-blowing that they don't accept it's a problem. And so if you've got candidates and government parties not accepting it's a problem, how can you ever fix it?
I just don't understand when it's going to end. What is it going to take to stop this? And another question I have is, are there women and children sleeping in those tents on the street?
No.
No.
No, the majority, the majority of the 30,000 who have come in for international protection over the last 2 years, I'm not talking about Ukrainians, I'm talking about international protection applicants, the vast majority are men.
We know that.
Yeah.
We know that, Niall. And where are they going? Because just last weekend, we've had a new delivery into my area here in the west of Ireland of asylum seekers. Now, some are women and some are children, but there's an awful lot of men. Hmm. And they've come from multiple countries, Nigeria, Jordan, Congo and Pakistan. Now, have these people come from the streets of Dublin? I don't know. We don't know where they've come from.
You can't. It's like a game of drafts now. We're just moving them from place to place. So we're moving the problem now from the canal to wherever, City West, to wherever it is they're going to move them to another set of tents, you know, that are probably better tents, and they just have, you know, showers and stuff like that, and, you know, available to them.
But tents isn't, Niall, tents isn't good enough. Our local hotel is not good enough. We are a small town here, and we actually did a protest this weekend, and a lot of people are in support of us, but won't say that publicly, because people are even afraid to say that they support the protesting of asylum seekers coming in. Now, we are a small Irish-speaking community here. Everything is done through Irish. The school is through Irish. Day-to-day business is done through Irish. We have Irish colleges. We have young women and boys coming, young girls and boys, I should say, coming from all over the country here to learn Irish. Now, I don't know if that's going to affect things going forward with people coming in. You know, we have people here, like I said, from the Congo.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest with you, I live 5 minutes from a pub, and going forward, I will not be walking home from the pub. Not that I would go to the pub much anyways, but I really have
Okay, so you feel a bit unsafe, yeah. Of the unknown. It's a fear of the unknown, isn't it? It is a fear of the unknown.
I'm not afraid to say that. And I feel like, why are people afraid to speak up? And why are we being branded in
because you get called right wing by the government. That's why you're afraid to speak up. And by the way, can I just point out, when I spoke up about this 5 years ago, or even 20 years ago, when this all particularly started, although it wasn't as bad as it is now, you know, I was called right wing, and I have been called right wing, and now we have a government doing exactly what I said we should have been doing about 2 years ago, pretending to do what I said we should be doing 2 years ago, and all of a sudden it's not right wing anymore. So I think you are right. I think there's a fear put in people not to speak up, that you'll be branded. I mean, you've seen what happened to me. Well, I don't know whether you heard the debates during the week in RTE that I was on.
Yep.
You know, as soon as I start speaking, I'm practically told to shut up, or they attack me or whatever. But I don't care. They're drawing attention to me.
There's nothing wrong with being called right wing. What's wrong with that?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah,
by the way, this idea, and I said this yesterday in an interview with the Irish Times, this idea of labelling people, right? So they turn around, they say to me, are you right? Would you consider yourself right-wing? And I go, well, I'm probably centre-right if you really want to stick a label on me. But hold on, I can be left-wing on certain things too. I've voted yes for marriage equality, for example. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make me left-wing? No, it doesn't. It just makes me a person with an opinion. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But also a person that has common sense, like the rest of us, like most of us, to be honest. We had a public meeting there last week, when we were talking about the incoming asylum seekers here. We had some representation from the Fine Gael councillor and the Irish Freedom Party and Noel Thomas from the Independent Ireland Party. Now, there was no show from Fianna Fáil.
Surprise, surprise.
Exactly.
Mm.
And there was almost no comment from Fine Gael, as in, well, not really, nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
Not my problem.
Nothing to see here.
Now, that really, really angers people. And in fairness, the Irish Freedom Party and Independent Ireland have stayed with us all weekend, almost 24-7, in support of our protest. But an awful lot of people don't support it. The Tichy Cathair News was there, and the local radio, RNG, which is based nearby here, almost turned the narrative around and made it look as though the majority of our village aren't in support of our small protest, which is absolutely wrong. Now, we have a local guy who's running for a local election in Connemara South here, PJ O'Flaherty, and he was the one who organised the protest and is, you know, trying to fight for the culture and the Irish language here in Connemara. And it feels like we're not being listened to. They're ignoring us, but they're ignoring everyone else around the country that is protesting. And it's just happening everywhere.
I've been saying this for years. You're not being listened to. And I think that's why people feel this need now to change the way they vote in this election, because they feel that they haven't been listened to over the last few years. And again, when I was talking to Cormac last night from the Irish Times, I said, you know, I've been doing the talk show for 30 years. And obviously people have a different view of the government sometimes. And the people aren't always right, because the people turn around tomorrow and say, we don't want to pay tax anymore. That's not right. But the people are right most of the time. And I've seen this particularly over the last 4 or 5 years. When I'm talking to, you know, people and callers who come on with their problems, and then I'm talking to a government politician, you know, on the other line or whatever it is, or I'm interviewing them, there's a completely different view of how the country should be run from the people's point of view and the government's point of view. And that disconnect has got wider and wider and wider over the last 5 years, to the point now where I've talked to 250,000 callers in 30 years on the air. I doubt the government have spoken to 250 people. They speak to each other. So they don't understand really how you feel.
But the disconnect is there, you're right. But also, are they not seeing the unfairness of this all? Like, I would have absolutely no problem if they handed me a free house, a free medical card, hot meals every day, my kids looked after, clothed, fed, watered. Like, are they going to pay my property tax? Are they going to pay my electric bills, my bins, my diesel, my car tax? They're not doing this for the Irish people. They're doing it for other people. And we just don't have the space. And it's... like, I'm not afraid to say that Ireland is full, and people aren't seeing that. Our health system has fallen apart. It's gone. Non-existent.
They kind of hate that line, Ireland is full. They believe it has negative connotations. But here's the thing. When it comes to the accommodation in this country, and that's basically what we base everything on, where we have places for people to live, Ireland is essentially full when it comes to accommodation. We have nowhere for people to live.
But not only accommodation, Niall. We know that. That's an obvious thing. But our hospitals are full. Our doctors aren't even taking on new patients anymore. Our disability services, our schools, our creches. Just last year, I tried to get my baby into a creche and I was told we are full because we are putting the Ukrainians there as priority at the top of the list. You're not even going on the list. The list isn't being added to anymore because we have priority for Ukrainians who deserve the social inclusion. Like, give me a break. This isn't fair.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, Alva. Let me just go to Jackie as well. Jackie, hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm listening there. And
it's like waking up to a bad dream, isn't it, every single day?
Oh, look at everything that she's saying is 100%. And it's like, okay, we say Ireland is full. Okay, we have landmass and all that. But then you have services. If the services can't keep up with the population, no, it doesn't matter about the landmass. So if services aren't available, like you take close to where I live, there's... a retirement home that HICRA, of course, knocked off, that they couldn't continue as being a retirement home. And now they're going to be putting maybe 40 to 60 unvetted men into that building. Now, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's only, Rackhaven is only a small village. They won't have, they have one doctor or whatever. there's no transport, and they're looking at doing this, and they're not, you know, the people are kind of protesting about it, that it is going to happen, like.
Yeah, but we shouldn't be at this point. We shouldn't be, I mean, and I said this the other day, and I tried to explain this to somebody, but they were too thick to understand what I was talking about. I'm saying, you know, there are genuine people who come to the country who flee war, all that kind of stuff. We get that, right? But if you weren't letting the ones that weren't genuine into the country, we would have no problem accommodating and facilitating the ones that are genuine. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we would have...
100%.
The majority, and this is, again, I was attacked on RT for saying this, the majority of people who are coming here are not genuine asylum seekers. They're economic migrants, or they're people who have no identification at all, who shouldn't even be in the country, by the way. And I said this already, when somebody comes into this country with no identification and is purposely destroying their identification, they should be detained until we establish exactly who they are by 100% through fingerprinting or whatever. The idea that you would let a person into your country with no identification, like the guy down in Cork with 27 different identities, right? With no identification, and you would just let them walk into a city and walk around, and you've no idea who they are.
Niall.
That's bonkers.
Niall, I was in Dublin Airport in March. I came into Dublin Airport off a flight from Portugal. There was other flights that came in at the same time, so you all walk through immigration. At the one time, we were in the queue. There was a lady in front of us who presented herself to the, you know, the man in the window. He was looking at everyone's passports, looking at the children's passports and looking at mine and then checking again that I'm not kidnapping my children.
Yeah.
The lady in front of me had nothing to show. And she had her hands up and she said, no English, no English. I have nothing. I have nothing. He didn't know what to do with her. And she was holding up the queue. And I thought, oh, my God, what's he going to do? A team has to come in here and take her aside so that the rest of us can get through. What did he do? Guess what he did?
What did he just let her go?
He let her through. He put his hands up like, fuck it, I can't do anything about this. And he let her through. We followed her out of the airport that day, out of the doors of Dublin Airport and out towards the car park where the buses were. And she got onto a bus.
Oh, no. Well,
no passport, no bags. She knew exactly where she was going. And who knows who she is and who she's meeting and what she's doing.
And I said this again, you know, some people are nice people, I'm sure they are, but there are people coming to this country, and no matter how small the amount might be, we have no idea if they have a criminal background. We know nothing about them. They have no identification. I have no idea what we're doing. We have a duty, as much as Aon O'Riordan, who's like a circus act beside me in RTE, was laughing at me when I said this, and, you know, and kind of tried to question me on it, or trying to nail me on it, or a gotcha moment. I said, we have a duty and a responsibility to protect our citizens and our borders. That's our job. Jackie, am I wrong in saying that? Is there something mental
sense.
Saying that?
And you know, if we go back a few years ago and like I was saying it, you were saying, let's get our own stuff in order before we bring or allow people in here or bring people in and to help them. Firstly, you look after your own.
You're not even allowed to say that anymore, Jackie. Sure, they're already writing the complaints as we speak.
but it's just common sense. The whole common sense has gone out the window in this country. I kind of sit there at times and I go, what is really going on here? Because all the TDs, the councillors, the ministers, they know people are talking to them saying this, you know, this is ridiculous, whatever. And they're ignoring everything that the people are saying. Now, maybe there's a whole cohort in Dublin that they don't know anything that's happening down around the country or around certain parts of Dublin. They live in their own little world and you know, they're not affected by any of this. And maybe you have a certain amount of those that don't know and don't realize, because a lot of what we're saying is not public, you know, in the public domain. It's only, you know, a certain amount of people. We don't have the mainstream media behind this. They're all against it. They're on the whole government side. So there's a lot of people that don't know what is going on. They do, you know, they're
so totally so what? Yeah, okay. So Jackie, what happens tomorrow morning when, you know, the trespass tents, because the NGOs start handing out more of them, because 500 people a week are coming into the country or more. That's only what we know of, by the way. This idea, by the way, that the government will say, oh, there's about 550 people a week or whatever, that's only what presents themselves at the IPAS. Remember, there are a lot of people coming into this country, which we seem to forget about, by the way, and nobody's pointing this out, coming into this country illegally through Northern Ireland. And they're not going to IPAS because they might have mates who already have accommodation and they're going, come on over, sleep, kip on my couch or whatever. So, and they're coming in undocumented, as they used to call it years ago. So Jackie, tomorrow morning, you know, the tents start appearing again, which is what's happened the last five times. So I have no reason to believe it's not going to happen again tomorrow morning. What do you do? Do the guards go around and say, sorry, no, you can't do this?
They have to stop it at the source before there has to be some sort of cooperation in the airports.
But it's not the airports. I mean, let's be clear. Most are not coming through the airport. We know now at this stage, you know, over 80%, according to the minister, are coming from Northern Ireland. Well, they're coming from Northern Ireland. Yeah.
Okay. So it has to be stopped.
So how do you do that?
Well, the thing is, if someone, there was a report, was it, that there were so many people that were stopped on the way down, that the guards had
The checkpoints, and Newry, I'm going to be honest with you. They're kind of pointless, those checkpoints, right? Because, you know, look, you can't put a checkpoint in every part of the border because the border is huge in a sense. No, there's so many roads into it, right? The guards are there at Newry. They're pulling in buses. Now, before they leave Belfast, and somebody told me this already, there's an announcement on the bus Ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, we probably will be stopped at Newry by the Irish Garda Síochána. Please do make sure you have your identification. As soon as some lad hears that who's doing a runner, he's going to get off the bus again, right? So, and then secondly, most of them at this stage have twigged that the guards are stopping the buses, so they get taxis. They don't get stopped in a taxi. So that's kind of pointless exercise. And we're never going to put a hard border back in Northern Ireland. We fought too hard to get rid of the hard border. So the answer is to put a hard border down the Irish Sea. In other words, that we communicate and we work with the Northern Irish, with the First Minister of Northern Ireland. And we have, you know, reception centres at Larne, at Belfast Airport, George Best Airport, or anyway into Northern Ireland, there should be a reception centre where the Garda Síochána, together with the PSNI, work to detain people. That's the only way. Well, that's the only way, Jack.
How long will it take for that to be even the person to do that?
But here's the thing. When this was suggested going back 4 weeks ago in the Oireachtas, and the minister admitted that over 80% were coming from Northern Ireland, she was asked, have you been in touch, you know, with the Northern Irish First Minister? She said no. Now, you'd imagine if you realise there's a problem coming from Northern Ireland, the first thing you do is communicate, wouldn't you? With Michelle O'Neill.
Yeah, okay, if you go back to the tent situation again. So you have NGOs supplying the tent. Then you have the guards and the county councils and all that, and they're pulling the tents away. And then they put up the barriers. So each time you have this circle of events that's happening, and like it's nearly like they're creating the problem to solve the problem, and it all then to people around Dublin it looks great. Well, look at the government; they're doing something now. They're moving them on. They're whatever. It's kind of taking the problem away from our patch here.
Yeah.
So okay. It's like creating the problem to solve the problem.
Okay, well, hold on a second, because I know Nuala and Sean are waiting ages. I'm going to come tomorrow after that. Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm good now. I was just looking at, you know, this EU temporary agreement, which why you have so many people from Ukraine coming in here. That was started in 2001. That's 20 years before any invasion took place.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Now, you kind of think, holy Moses, like, was the West trying to facilitate this or what? You know, and my real point is that at the moment there's an awful lot of people who were in direct provision that are now out in the community and some of most of them working. But they're accommodated through the HAP scheme. And we know the HAP scheme is costing billions. And, you know, that means that we do not have any permanent place for people. Even that we have given citizenship.
Yeah, I know. We're kind of propping up the private landlords. Yeah, I know. I understand that.
Yeah, we don't have. So, and then we have our own competing with this. So, if you're on the HAP scheme, you can you end up with possibly more money, disposable money, than somebody who is working and coming home with a take-home pay of about 500 a week or less, and has to pay rent for a rent.
I know. I understand the economics of it. And the problem is that the people are coming to the country, a vast amount of the people that are coming to the country are going to be a constant burden on the state, because they're never going to earn enough money to purchase a house in Ireland, right? Because we all know the cost of a house in Ireland, just like many of us are a burden on the state. Okay, but Nuala, just in relation to what's happening at the canal, so, you know, the problem may move from the canal to somewhere else. We've now got barriers all the way up the canal. People can't even go for a walk along the canal anymore. It's getting ridiculous now. I mean, and we've taken them all down again today. They've all received letters saying they're going to move them all to somewhere else. But tomorrow, you're going to see them pitching back again. So there's going to be another, because, you know, they just keep replacing them with more people coming in constantly all the time. So how do we solve this problem?
It's kind of a vicious circle in the sense that the NGOs are getting money from the government to give them tents, and then the government comes along and takes away the tents. And, like, I think you have to declare an emergency situation and say, we can only accept a certain amount of asylum seekers because we don't want to cause instability in the country, which it is causing.
Okay, so how, and I would agree with you. So how do you go about that? How do you go about stopping the 400 or 500 people coming through Northern Ireland, and that's where the majority are coming through? And let's be clear, there's a good pool of them on the way, because 1.2 million people currently in the UK are waiting or have been seeking asylum, who are probably going to be rejected. So they're all going to want to go somewhere, and I'm thinking Ireland is probably the place for them. So well, somewhere between 700,000 and 1.2 million. So how are we going to stop that from happening? How?
Well, I don't think this idea that the NGO says that we have to accept everybody that comes in here. So there's about 112 million people displaced worldwide because of different wars. We cannot take them. You know,
okay, so but I'm agreeing with you, Nuala. Everybody is agreeing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're all agreeing. We're all in agreement on that element of it. We can't just keep doing this. You know, you can't wake up every morning and having the same answer to the bad problem and with no solution. So, but what is the solution to stop people coming into Ireland via Northern Ireland? The airports, Rosslare, all those places, they're no problem. We should be able to manage that. That's not rocket science, right? Because all we've got to do is put Garda Síochán and reception centres there, right? So how do you stop people coming in from Northern Ireland, which is the vast majority?
Well, I mean, if you declare an emergency and you say no more, we're not receiving any more applications, you just have to get the government to go up here.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. They're sliding around and they're slipping around and they're not taking the reins of what's happening and sending people out to Carrow. Sure, that's a terrible thing. You know, I mean, the population of Carrow is probably 200 or 300,
okay,
and you're sending hundreds of people out there.
Okay. Listen, thank you for that, Nuala. Let me just go to Sean and go to Morris then and Bernie. Sean, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. Good afternoon to you. Look, Niall, I just want to start with this. I was listening to Classic Hits last night with the Mary Lou interview there.
Let's not talk about Classic Hits. I can't do that on the podcast. All right, John, to be honest with you. I understand.
But it's about Mary Lou anyway.
Okay.
Can we talk about her?
You can talk about Mary Lou. You can talk about Sinn Féin if you want, as long as you don't say it in defamatory. Go on.
You want to see the bullshit she spewed last night? It was unbelievable.
All right, I haven't listened to the podcast. I haven't listened back to it, but I will if I get a chance. I will listen back to it.
Well,
but let's just move on from that interview because I don't think it's fair because I worked for Classic Hits for a long time.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's like everybody's saying, Noel. Every you know a candidate, and that's you know every the likes of Mary Lou, the likes of the Healy Rice, the likes of everybody, they're not answering everybody's questions. They're not dealing with this head on.
Mm.
Now I want to say this to you, Noel. We were in there in town on Tuesday night. You're out for a bite to eat, and Niall, mother of God, and I don't know if you've been whining and dining in town lately, but by Jesus Christ, it's bad. There's just groups of foreign men sitting around drinking everywhere, and I mean everywhere you go. And I'm like, this is it now. This is our new Dublin. This is what Dublin's going to look like. And it's not stopping, Niall, as you say. You know, there's 550 on the way, there's 600, you know, they're all coming in their droves.
And those numbers are conservative, by the way. They're only the ones that present themselves at IPASS, yeah.
But what you said is, Niall, about stopping it, they have to be turned around, Niall. We have to start charting around the jets and flying them back off, you know. If they fly into this country, fly them back out. Boat them out, you know, because we cannot go the way we're going. It's impossible. It's absolutely, I've heard one of your callers there saying, It's they're bringing them in, but there's no resources for us, never mind them. We're in a crisis ourselves, where our doctors, our nurses, our healthcare system, we were in a crisis before this. So what did he actually think this is going to... It's going to buckle all of our services. It's going to turn, you know, a turning health system already is, you know, it's just, they're all going to lose it, Niall. I'm afraid the health service of Ireland, the doctors and nurses that we have here, I think we're going to lose them, Niall. I think they're going to say, fuck this. There's a better life over in Australia for me. The rents, the houses are too expensive to buy, and the property is too expensive to rent. Look, something's going to give, Niall. You know, and this is what I'm afraid, where our teachers are going. Or, you know, I know loads of people, Niall, that either have went or they're planning on going.
Mm-hmm.
And where does it stop? So do we all just give up and let the government do what they're doing and let them flood the country as much as they want? Like, you know, it's frightening, Niall.
No. I know for many people it is frightening. And that doesn't take away from the fact that many people come here to the legal process, by the way, and work in this country from all over the world.
No,
everybody's quite happy with that idea. But as you said, you don't want to see a Dublin where there's groups of young fellas, you know, as you said, foreign young fellas sitting around drinking in Dublin City all night.
They're everywhere, Niall. They're everywhere you go. You know, a friend of mine works in James's Hospital, Niall. He was filling me in on what's going on down there. They're coming in their droves, Niall. They're queuing up in the A&E. They're going in, getting checked out, getting seen. That's okay. But they're coming in their 20s and 30s. you know. And he says, look, as a bad system that was going as it was, it's even worse now.
It's, you know, worse.
Yeah, we can't even handle what we had. But now, it's treble the damage.
Okay, the question I'm asking everybody, you know, I've come up with solutions and I spoke about it on the radio on numerous occasions, but what's your solution to when you see that, and the evidence is clear, that the vast majority are coming through United Kingdom, coming through Northern Ireland. So what's the solution?
It's a border around the sea. You said it, you nailed it. You know, that's what we need to do, you know. We need to take control of this now, you know.
Well, of course, we'd have to have the authorities in Northern Ireland cooperate with us on that, but that's
something. Well, we have to do something, Niall. Like, we can't carry on like this. Mm. Like, Niall, here's another one for you, right? I just want to give you this one before you go. So, I have no traceability, Niall. Say if one of these foreigners in a tent attacks somebody, Niall. We don't have a traceability there. We don't know. Like, you know, we don't know where to look to, you know. He could disappear down the country for all we know, you know. This is what I'm saying. They've no fixed abode. They've no traceability. They've no nothing, Niall. We don't know anything about them. We haven't a clue who they are. That's frightening in itself, even, you know.
I get what you're saying, Sean. Thank you for that. No, I do get what you're saying. And that's a really important point you made. A lot of them, we don't have a clue who they are. Let me go to Morris. Morris, hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, Niall.
Yeah, I'm sorry for keeping everybody waiting today, Bernie. I'll be with you next. Go ahead, Morris. I mean, Morris, you know, we all know the problem. We see the problem. We see it there again today. Tents being removed from the canal. They'll be back there again tomorrow. We all know that. It's just like a vicious circle. So what's the answer? What's the solution?
Well, the solution is, you've mentioned it, but also if you go back to 2000 with the foot and mouth disease, for instance, we worked in collaboration with the UK and both Northern Ireland and the Republic. We were checking everything coming in on the ports and stuff. Something like that has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in relation to the UK, it can easily be done. It's just a case of, collaborating, getting on with politicians and not demonising any time the UK does something and not using that as a way of, oh, look what the UK are doing. Like Leo Varadkar was doing a lot. And, you know, just antagonising doesn't help. You're not going to get anything from someone if you're just trying to antagonise them for a few political points.
Some good points made today. First of all, Nuala is 100% correct. It should be recognised as an emergency. We need to establish that as an emergency so we can bring in legislation around that. But we need to work with Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but in relation to dealing with it, like if I was Minister for Justice, I would have an interview with Roger O'Gorman did or Angela Merkel.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. If I was the Taoiseach of this country, Roger O'Gorman wouldn't be in a job. But how and ever.
But what I would do is I would say to all these people that are planning on, like, if you go onto Twitter, there's a load of Twitter spaces from all these countries, like Nigeria, for instance. And I sometimes listen into it. And they're saying about, oh, you can go to Portugal, you can get in here and do this hospitality or whatever, they probably think we're all fools, and we probably are, the European Union. And what we have to do is we have to clamp down on this. We have to say, right, you're not coming in. Like, if there is a, like, not every country in Africa or the Middle East is a war. Look at World War II, for instance.
The majority of people coming to Ireland are not from war-torn countries. They're from what we recognise as safe countries. I think we've listed 10 safe countries now. Yeah.
So if this was World War II, and Ireland was at war, you'd go to the nearest safe place, which is hypothetically the UK. You wouldn't be, oh, I have to fly over to America now and get a free house and stuff. You know what people who are doing that. Like, if you're from Eritrea, the safest country nearest to you is Kenya.
Mm.
And Kenya's actually doing fairly well, but they don't want to do that because...
But you know what we're doing by accepting... But you know what Europe are doing by accepting 6 million people, I think, next year, right? Fleeing right into Europe. What they're essentially doing is, because what we're seeing from the demographic of people that are coming, they're mainly men. They're mainly between the age of kind of 20 and 45. And what we're essentially doing is we're emptying the villages in these small economies across the coasts of across the African continent and Asia and places all around the world. We're emptying up these small villages, which is destroying their small economies. Now, don't get me wrong; a lot of them are corrupt economies, but we're emptying them out where there'll be no workers there, and we're making their economies even worse, which encourages the problem even more by allowing it to happen. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make?
I do, Niall, but I would disagree with you because most people, for instance, in Africa, you know, the big problem there is you have people having too many kids, and their solution is, let's say a family has eight kids, seven of them go to Europe, and one fellow minds the parents and keeps two cattle going. That shouldn't be our problem. They should, if you can't mind the amount of kids you plan on having, you should have only one child. And, you know, Europe shouldn't be your destination for the rest of the kids you can't support. You know, that we don't have oil. We don't have all these resources Africa and the Middle East have. Yet we can manage ourselves. They can't.
But you're saying we can manage ourselves. If you look at the country around us at the moment, I don't know whether we can or not. You kind of wonder, wouldn't you?
What I'm saying to you is, it shouldn't be up to us to mind someone else's kids from Africa just because they have too many. They should do more family planning, and it should be enforced. And if countries don't want to do that, then we should be preventing any of them from coming in. Mm. And in relation to all the people who are failed asylum seekers, they should be immediately deported, and the NGOs have to be defunded. And all it takes is a change in legislation to prevent these people from constantly.
But how is it ever going to change, Morris? How is anything going to change when the vast majority within the political circle, and again, I go back to the two debates I was on, one last week on Drive Time, one on this week on RTE on Sunday, and the people who sat around the table with me, the five or the six people around that table, all disagreed with me and all don't believe this is the problem that we're making it out to be, and all don't believe that people should be deported. You know, so, I mean, how will we ever solve a problem when the political class in this country don't see it the same way as you and I do see it?
The only way to do it now is to chuck them out. Like, I think, like, to be honest, you were the only person talking sense. You were the only one who was talking facts. Barry Andrews and the rest of them, and your man,
Aon is now. Don't mind Aon. He's just like a comedy act. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you see, the thing is, they knew you were saying facts. They couldn't disagree with that. All they could do was try and shout you down, and they just made themselves ignorant. Appear as ignoramuses. They came across as if they were dragged up, basically. That's my opinion. And they didn't do themselves any favours.
No, I think they did me more favours by constantly
shouting. Yeah. How they acted. And, what they don't realise is they're going to lose all their jobs. Hopefully Barry Andrews will get knocked out. The Labour guy, he's...
But he won't. But he probably won't. There's a problem is, there's so many, it's just hereditary, isn't it, in this country. My family all voted Fianna Fáil, so I'm going to vote Fianna Fáil. Surely, I don't even know Barry, what he stands for, but I give him a vote anyway, sure. You know what I mean?
And mind you,
he only barely scraped in the last time round.
But also, we have to cut the corruption out of the system. You see these politicians now, the reason why they're selling out the country is because they're looking at that and saying, all right, we're going to get a cushy EU job at the end of it. That's going to be our 30 pieces of silver. While the rest of the country is up in flames. They don't care.
Yeah. By the way, people have said that to me too, that RTE tried to say something, the salary is quite good as an EU MEP. Would you be willing to give it up? And I'm going, why would I work for free when I've just left a radio job with a reasonably good? And why aren't you asking the rest of the candidates the same question? It was kind of like, let's pick on Niall time. You know what I mean? But the difference between me and them is I'll work for the salary. I've never taken a day off of my life on radio, by the way, as sick or anything like that.
Most of these guys now are career politicians. Like, look at the youngest guy who's in the Dáil, or your man who's a Taoiseach. They never worked a day in their life. They went from university to being a TD.
Well, he dropped out of university, didn't he? Simon Harris. Simon Harris, yeah, he dropped out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, well, stay there. Let me just go to Bernie. Stay there, Morris. Bernie, hi. How are you?
I'm grand, Niall. How are you today?
Yeah, somebody's going to correct me if I'm wrong on that, but remember Simon Harris dropped out of college, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. That was written in the papers about him. Last night, I'll just say, I know it's nothing to do with you. That was a shit show that was on last night with Mary Lou, my son, and I nearly vomited.
I didn't hear it, so I won't cast any opinion until I hear it.
No, I don't. I'm very fond of Garrett, but Jesus, that woman needs to be put out. Anyway, my thing on this is, in the airports, we have an unused car park that they're all given out about, we can't open this. Put all the tents out there. Bring in those NGOs that are sitting on an 80,000 job. Make them work 24 hours a day. Go through every one of the people who's coming illegally and send them back on the Ryanair flight. And that'll be money well spent. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to dog up anywhere, and there's no waiting time. This waiting around is a rubbish. It's, I mean, you could... back on the next, in Australia, you're turned around within 24 hours.
Oh, you're kept in a room. Actually, we've seen it on that programme, Nothing to Declare. You're interviewed in a room for 20 minutes where they check out your credentials and make sure you are who you say you are. And even at that, they ask you then, give us a good reason why we should let you into Australia. And they'll either let you go if they think you're not going to be working, because, of course, that's the reason most will go, or they'll put you back on the next plane back to where you came from.
Yeah, so why are we not able to do that? Are we a bit simple or something? Like, I don't understand why we're tolerating him. Like, you and I could be
homeless. But Bernie, they don't. But see, they're not on the same wavelength as you and I. Like, for example, they wouldn't even let me on RTÉ use the word illegal immigrant. They said there's no, and I'm quoting the rest of them in the room, right? They said, all six of them, there's no such thing as illegal immigration in Ireland. I mean, that's how mad they are.
Listen, Niall, I went to Sligo yesterday and I went through every town along the way, Charlestown, Clare Morris. It was wall-to-wall people who were here who were not Irish. And this is a small community that I was driving through yesterday. And along the roadside was people walking with children who weren't Irish. Like,
I mean, and I, by the way, I don't want to come across as people who, you know, somebody who doesn't accept diversity. Of course I do. And you know, it's wonderful to see people, you know, working in Ireland and contributing from all over the world in our hospitals, in our hospitality, who come through, by the way, get a visa to work in this country or come here through the proper channels, or indeed if they're coming from a war. But that's just not the case anymore. It's just like a stop-off point for anybody who wants to come here.
Yeah, we can't go on. This is going on. How long are we talking about this now? It must be 5 years I'm hoarse here and talking and finding solutions. Like, there's so many solutions. The airport is there. The people who are flying them in should be held accountable. Like, you know, if they're not accepting, if they're letting them on with no passports, well, then they should keep them and bring them back.
But there's the problem. When they are coming in via planes, they couldn't be getting on a plane with no passport. So what they're doing is they're flushing their passports down the jacks, or they're destroying them somewhere on the plane.
But I mean, how is the airplane? Then you and I can't do that. You can't even go to London without a passport.
No, I know.
No, it's ridiculous.
I know.
So why are we allowing this? Why are
you heard Alva at the start of the show. She said she came through Dublin Airport. I can only believe what she tells me. And the queue was held up because there was a woman, she said, of foreign descent, had no identification. Your man in immigration got so pissed off, he just went, oh, go ahead. And he said, we followed her out. She walked out of the airport and got on a bus.
Yeah, and that's happening a lot. I've heard that. That's not the first time I heard that story.
No, I find that, I'm not doubting Alva, but I just find it difficult to believe that an immigration officer would be that incompetent. But maybe they are. No, I don't know.
No, I've seen it, and I've seen it with my own eyes. They hold a piece of paper and they walk them through. If there's a big queue, they just walk them in. I've seen it. I've been in the queue waiting to come back.
And do they not? Surely they. Well, I was going to say take their name and address, but they don't have their name and address. They have no identification. So I don't know.
I've seen it myself when I was in the airport. You know, and that was 5 years ago, you know, and I saw it. So that lady's telling the truth.
Oh, no, I'm sure she is. I don't have any reason to doubt Alva for a minute.
But why are they, you know, allowed to put the tent up? Somebody must be able to see them put the tent up in the first place. Surely the guards can say, no, you're not allowed to do that here.
I'm going to tell you, but if the guards say that, then you've got all the NGOs and charities going, oh, you can't treat people like that. That's not humane. They need somewhere to stay.
You put up a tent. You try putting up a tent outside the door there. There wouldn't be long enough to stick me along there. You wouldn't be allowed. You'd be put in jail.
Yeah, well, I put a tent up during the week and just see how long I last for the crack.
Yeah. Whose tent would vote for Niall on the side of it? End. You want to end. See how long you last.
Absolutely. Listen, Bernie, thank you very much indeed. Appreciate it. And thank you, by the way, for all your support, Bernie. You've been wonderful, by the way.
Not at all. I love you lots, okay? And love Karen.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Let me go to Joanne just to finish up for today. Joanne, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, I'm good, thanks.
Sorry for keeping you so long, Joanne. I mean, here we are, tents down, tents back up again tomorrow. Fifth time now they've done it.
Well, if people don't wake up and see what the bigger picture is, we'll be talking about 50 tents. Because it's as obvious as the dog on the street knows this. They're desperate to get the migration pact through. You need to know that. People need to understand that. They're desperate to get it through. They're desperate for us to accept it, okay, and to ratify it. So they're letting this chaos happen deliberately. So they'll come along and say, but sure, look, if we sign into this, we'll be able to manage it. Do you understand?
I used your story, by the way, Joanne. I used your story in one of the interviews that I did recently. And I remember you talking to me about your son not being able to get somewhere to live. Isn't that right? and how it angered you, you know, that there were modular homes being given out to Ukrainians in Mallow, I think it was at the time. And, you know, there's your son trying desperately to get a house for him and his you know, family, and he couldn't.
They took him off. They were on the CBL list, Niall, and she was bidding every time your house came up. And never realised they were after being taken off it because his income, he got a rise in his job and they took him off after 6 years.
Yeah.
So my anger gets bigger every day of what's going on in this country and people will not wake up and see it. The Irish people at the moment, okay, we are being taken to court. At the moment, the case is ongoing in the High Court. NGOs are funding it. An asylum seeker that came here and wasn't accommodated, okay, he's taking the Irish people to
That's
court.
Right. I've seen them. I've seen
to force
seen
us to house them, and they want €318 a week. Now, if they win this case now, you might as well just kiss this country goodbye.
And that gives us a legal obligation. By the way, we've never had that legal obligation as far as Irish people are concerned. We have a legal obligation to give people shelter under the Constitution, but not to give them a house.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. If they win that case, you're right. I mean, it's an interesting case, and I don't want to go too much into the details, but you already gave them most of the details. But if that case, it's a landmark ruling, it means that we'll have an obligation to house anybody who comes here.
And provide them, they want €300, €318 a week.
Nice.
To keep them above the poverty.
That's more than people getting social welfare, by the way, you know.
100%. What does a pensioner get?
You know, we're a joke. You know? We're a joke of a country at this stage.
We're a joke and we need to take it back. And as I said to you, it might be a very unpopular opinion of mine, but I really don't care. We're seeing the chaos is happening in the UK. At the moment, tomorrow there's going to be massive protest in the UK on the streets. Against this, right? Because they brought in the Rwanda plan to try and solve it. They can't solve it. There's only one way this will ever be solved, is through the European Court of Human Rights. And if Britain pull out of that, which I believe they will, we're just finished. We might as well just lie down now and die, because they will not be able to go to Britain. They'll be able to walk over the border here without a passport. Try that in Australia.
Well, I tell you another thing, by the way. If people vote in some of the European MEPs, obviously with the exception of me, I want you to vote for me, that we have currently running.
Of course I would. You're not in my location, but I 100% would.
Well, there's some of them there, by the way, and they will only make this country worse. Because I've heard some of them talking about, for example, they want to bring in hate speech laws all across Europe. In other words, that's just to silence us all. They also, you know, some of them believe that, you know, we should be taking more refugees. Some of them believe that this is not a problem. I heard Rory Hearn saying the other night, Breed Smith and many others saying this crisis is not a problem. We shouldn't be looking at it as a negative thing. I mean, how can you not look at this as a negative thing for Ireland? I mean, it's just bizarre. Imagine those people. They're the people who want to represent, you know, the people of Ireland in Europe. Like, it's nuts.
There's nobody representing the people of Ireland at the moment. Nobody, only you and one or two are the good people.
And who are you going to vote for, by the way, when you in Cork?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to vote a lot of nationalists, but I do my research first. A lot of independents, and I'll do my research first.
Yeah.
There won't be one of the mainstream. But this is all because of the immigration pact, and if people can focus on that now, that's why they're allowing the chaos to happen, because we'll go down on our knees begging, oh, please ratify it and let us join. Wake up. See the bigger picture.
Okay, listen, Joanne, unfortunately I've run out of time. Thank you very much indeed, and the best of luck with your voting next week. I hope you pick the right people next Friday. I'm just reading here, around 1,000 asylum seekers will be accommodated and tented in accommodation at Thornton Hall by the end of June. And that's according to the Journal today. By the way, Micheál Martin, in relation to the hospital, the Children's Hospital, he's accused the contractor of the National Children's Hospital of delaying completion to extract more money. Yeah, it's always somebody else's fault, really, isn't it? It's never the government's fault. I mean, if you go back years ago, for example, why the hell did they not put the skids on them from the very, very start and say, hold on, you told us you'd be at this point, at this date, you're going to get a fine. Why are they're private contractors. They've given it, a tender to the state. So if they don't do it on time, there should be fines. We shouldn't be paying them more money. The budget keeps going up. It's ridiculous. The best hotels in the world didn't cost as much as this bleeding hospital. Oh, it's typical of the Irish government. They just can't do anything right. Okay, some of your messages, by the way, coming in on WhatsApp as well.
Hi, Niall. How's it going? Sandra Clark here from Athlone here. Just letting you know that them 100 migrants that are sleeping out in Dublin in the tents will be moved down to Westmeath and Curry. But just letting you know that I shared the post from the Westmeath Independent, and it was taken off the Westmeath Independent page, and the TD in Athlone, Paul Hogan, it was shared from him as well, and I shared it, and basically it was a violation, so Facebook are putting it lower down the feed. I won't be able to come on today, but seemingly Facebook don't like these kind of posts on their page.
Niall, how are you? Niall, my daughter went away to Spain 2 years ago, and every morning I wake up heartbroken. Literally heartbroken, I wake up. There's not a minute goes by where I think about her, and I just want her here beside me. But she said, Dad, there's nothing here from me, nothing at all whatsoever. Now, she's doing okay in Spain, and we go over every now and again to her. But she got away out of this country because of what's going on. And she said she knew it was going to get worse. And then when you see refugees coming in and getting what they want, getting this, getting that, it breaks your heart. My heart is absolutely, it's trashed. It is, because my daughter is away because of this country and because of what's going on in this country, because the way everybody gets more and gets what they should be getting, what the Irish people should be getting, and they're getting it instead. There's an awful lot of people moving away because of what's going on, you know, and the likes of yourself now going out fighting for us, we can't thank you enough. We really can't. Cheers, pal.
Thanks very much, Neil. And I'm just looking, by the way, on Twitter. There's 2.8 thousand people watching right now at the moment. So I'd ask every single one of you to let me give you that opportunity to be your voice in Europe. So please do vote for me. And next Friday, it's only a week to go, well, a week and a day to go to the elections. It's your opportunity to make history in Ireland, not just about voting for me, by the way, but it's your opportunity to make history in Ireland, because we are at a turning point where everybody's really unhappy with what the government are doing. And it's not just the government. They're unhappy at Sinn Féin. They're unhappy at People for Profit, the Soc Dems, Labour, the establishment. And I feel sometimes a bit like David and Goliath. You're kind of up against the establishment. But it's your opportunity to change everything. And this will be the first stage. The next stage is the general election. So you've got the local elections next week, and you've got the European elections. Make sure when you go into your count centre, your ballot centre, should I say, that you your voting centre, you go in and you get your two ballot papers. So one will be for local elections, put in your local candidates, and one will be for the European elections. And you just, with the European elections, it's the same. You put in your numbers, okay? Don't put an X beside them or anything like that. It's not an X, it's a number. So the first person you would like to see voted for the European Union, you put a 1 beside. If there's nobody else you would ever like, so if you look down your list and go, I wouldn't want any of them, well, then don't put anything else. Just put a 1. If there's more than one, if there's another person, you'd say, well, look, if he doesn't get it, I'd like him to get it. Put a number 2 beside them. And so on down the sheet if you want to. If you don't want to fill out the whole sheet, don't believe people and say, you have to fill the whole sheet. You don't. You only fill out who you would like to see represent you in Europe. 1, 2, 3, in order of your preference. 1 being the main one you want to see get voted in. 2 being the one, well, if he doesn't get it, I'd like him or her to get it or whatever it is. That's the way it works. So please do it. Make sure you go out and vote. Make sure you're part of the change, because there's going to be a change. And, you know, don't lose faith in the European Union. You know, generally speaking, the European Union has been quite, we've gained a lot. And I know I don't want to get it to a point where everybody wants to leave Europe. And that could happen too, by the way. And we'd look at that when the time comes. But the European Union can be good. The problem with the European Union right now is it's full of lefties. And it's full of lefties making bad decisions. We need, and you're going to see it across Europe now, you're going to have centrist and right-wing politicians being elected to Europe. That's going to change Europe. It's going to put me in a better position if I'm elected to work with those people to make sure those changes are positive for Ireland. I'm not like Fianna Fáil. I don't believe, according to the posters, that Europe matters. I believe Ireland matters within Europe. I will be getting Europe to work for us, not the other way around. We won't be working for Europe. We've seen it with politicians in this country. They're so invested in Europe and their jobs in the future in Europe that they don't give a shit about you. I care. I've been listening to people for 30 years. So please do give me a vote next Friday in the elections. And I promise I'll be the real voice of Dublin and Ireland. And people often say to me, now, why do you keep saying Dublin? Why don't you say Cork? Well, I'm not running in Cork. I'm running in Dublin. The other bit of confusion, by the way, Unlike the local elections, no matter where you live in Dublin City or County, you can vote me. No matter where you live in Dublin City or County, it's not local. All right. Thank you to everybody. Don't forget, by the way, keep supporting our podcast as well. It's difficult for us at the moment because, as you know, we have to subsidize it. We don't get enough money or make enough money to keep it going. So please do try and subscribe. And the reason it's more difficult is because I'm not working at the moment, because I can't, because I'm running for election. So I had to go off the radio, as you know, nearly 6 weeks ago now. So it's difficult. You know, I'm not going to have pay packet. So I'm on the beans and chips. So please help us to support the podcast just so we can pay the bills. Go to the podcast site, www.nileboylan.com. That's www.nileboylan.com. And I promise you, we'll make it up to you. We will. I know we've missed a couple of podcasts because the elections have been busy, but please try and support the podcast. If you can do a donation on the website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. If you can do a donation, or indeed if you can subscribe to our podcast, I'd really, really appreciate it. It would help us so much coming towards the end of the month when we have to pay the bills. Thank you so much. Anything at all will help, by the way. Fiver, tenner, 20. If you can do anything at all, nileboylan.com. Just click on the donation button or on the subscribe button if you want to subscribe monthly. It's like buying me a cup of coffee or something like that. You know what I mean? Just for the work that we do. There's three of us work on the show. We work for free. Listen, thank you very much indeed. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at the same time. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.